This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 61st episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts and I've been developing software for over 19 years, developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch CoCats for over 8 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences, and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about building an asynchronous Swift UI button, supporting async await as a module owner, unit testing UIView controller dismiss closure arguments in Swift, the Vim tip of the day for Xcode. Also, there's a number of conferences happening, and I wanted to mention those. The first one of those is iOSConf SG. iOSConf SG is a remote conference happening in Singapore. It's going to happen on January 17th and 18th with workshops, and on January the 20th and 21st for their conference days. If you haven't bought any tickets yet, you should definitely do so, iOSConf.sg. They have a great lineup already available, and you should definitely have a look at them. I think you'll like it. The second conference to keep an eye on, they haven't announced a date yet, but I do know they are working on things, is Swift Heroes, swiftheroes.com. Just have a look at their website and keep an eye on their social media to make sure that you don't miss it when they launch their call for papers and when you can actually get your tickets. Swift Heroes is an Italian-based conference. It's happening in Turin. And I think this year they will do an in-person and online version of the conference. So that will be happening at the same time. So you can either go to Turin or visit their online conference sometime soon. I think they're going to perform the conference somewhere in April or May, but just keep an eye on this one because this is an interesting one. And last year they had an amazing lineup as well. So here's to having good luck with Corona and that they can actually execute on their plans for this year. So a big shout out to Swift Heroes and iOSConf SG. The day I'm recording this is actually Sunday, so that's the day after Christmas. And here in the Netherlands, we have something interesting, and that's what we call Second Christmas Day. So we have Christmas evening, Christmas Day, and then Second Christmas Day. So 3 days of Christmas, which is fine. Lots of fun with the family I had over this weekend, and really enjoyed ourselves in the limited settings that we were able to, because we didn't have any family visit us. We didn't go to any family. It's just the four of us and my mother-in-law and one friend that came over. So we really enjoyed ourselves. The kids enjoyed themselves. And now it's just getting ready for the new year. We're approaching New Year's Eve as well. That's the end of this week. But this means I do not have Donnie's Monday morning tweet. I'm just trying to rest up and do things that I enjoy. So off from work, not doing much really, just eating, sleeping, and entertaining my kids and my wife, of course. So yeah, not much to share really in that regard. I really hope that this lockdown thing in the Netherlands goes into the right direction, because the numbers still are looking good. But who knows? Because we still need to get into the new year's. We still need to get in the new year, and I think in like 1 week time, I can sign up for my booster shot for the vaccination. So looking forward to that one, even though I hate needles. Into the next year, and this is the final normal episode of this year. So if you don't talk to me before this year is over, I hope you had a nice Christmas weekend and a happy new year for 2022. And I really look forward to hopefully seeing a lot of my listeners, so that you in person on conferences across Europe and the world, really, because I'm really working on getting myself out there at conferences through my day job, which is amazing. So let's just get to the content and see where we'll end up. First article is by John Sundell, building an asynchronous Swift UI button. When building modern applications, it's incredibly common. Wow, it's incredibly common to want to trigger some form of asynchronous action in response to a UI event. For example, within the example code that is based on SwiftUI with PhotoView, you're using a task to trigger an asynchronous onLike action whenever the user taps the views button. So you have a view, you tap a button, and then something asynchronous is about to happen. Thing is, asynchronous code, stuff is happening, your user interface changes, so what happens with your task and the context around that? So how should you deal with that? So in his article, John gives a nice overview of this challenge and how you can deal with this. Of course, there are multiple ways that you could implement or deal with such a situation, but the approach that John has taken is, again, one of his typical solutions. Well thought through, very sturdy, and really something you could use in practice. So have a read of this article and see how you can respond to user interaction in an asynchronous fashion without crashing your app. The second article is by Tjeerd in het Veen, supporting async await as a module owner. In his article, you can read what you can do to support async await in your module. Keep it a minor release and support a variety of versions and platforms, all with a few simple steps. So this is an article that really delves into the recent release of Xcode 13.2, which gives backwards compatibility for async await on Swift code. So you can now support async await all the way back to macOS Catalina 10.15 and iOS 13, tvOS 13, and watchOS 6 or newer. So this support includes async await actors, global actors, structured concurrency, and the task API, which is amazing because you can do a lot of things with these asynchronous constructs in Swift, but having it in a backwards compatible way available to you, that's just amazing. So in his article, Tjeerd delves into how you can actually use this async await support on your SDKs or on your modules, and make sure that it's backwards compatible to these older versions of the platforms that you can run this code on without crashing stuff, of course. So it delves into how you can update your public API, how you can make sure that things work as you are intending them to work, how it's understandable to your end users, and how you can use conditional compilation to make sure that your backwards compatibility is in order and that you can use these new features as much to your own benefit as possible. So as a module owner, you can see in his article that it's quite painless to support both async and regular versions of the same asynchronous code. And it goes a long way to keep a module stable so that you give others the time to update your module to the latest version. So by using the tips that Tjeerd suggests, you can get your module in existing code base and provide a path to the users of your module to gradually update to this newer API with async await. Keep in mind that once you replace completion blocks with async await, even internally, you can't support all the versions before iOS 13 as such anymore. The next article by Leonardo Maya Pugliese is called Unit Testing UI View Controller Dismiss Closure Arguments in Swift. So in this article, Leo will attack some tricky unit testing code. First, he will talk about unit testing the UI View Controller with unit test, but he really wants to test everything, like literally everything. He thinks you should have unit tests for everything. Every little piece of code you write should be automatically tested. He knows that you have to get constraints in your day-to-day life, so testing 100% of things is almost impossible. This is something that he wants to fight against. In this article, he attacks one of those things that can be a very tricky thing to test: the dismiss behavior of a UI view controller. And to be fair, it's only important if you need to trigger some action after the dismiss or checking something. Because if not, you are just testing UIKit itself. So do not worry about the details. In his article, he will have you end up with a project on GitHub that you can use and see how you can test your UI view controller dismiss behavior. And it's a very thorough article again by Leonardo. And yeah, it's just something that you should read, and you can learn something on testing those like harder to reach spots within your code. And maybe in a case in the future that you want to test something, but you don't know specifically how, maybe this article can give you some tools to get to the bit that you want to test. So nice one by Leonardo again. So the final article of this week is by Chris Wu, the Vim tip of the day for Xcode. I just really like the artwork that is in this article. You should definitely, just for this artwork already, have a look at this post, and definitely check out Limited DFS for the developer-related comics that he creates. So Chris Wu, he's a huge fan of Vim and Xcode, maybe you've heard, has something that's called Vim support. So you can enable some mode within Xcode that it behaves in some ways to Vim. If you don't know what Vim is, this is probably something you don't want to try, because the joke with Vim is always, how do you quit it? Well, by turning off your computer, right? But if Vim is something that you really enjoy using and you want more of this keyboard-only behavior within Xcode when you're editing your code, just have a look at this article by Chris Wu. And maybe you'll just think it's a good idea. There's some fun things in there. And even if that's not something for you, you can learn about Vim a little bit, which is something that's very relevant to our history as software developers. So just for that, it's already worth checking out this article. So not to yank you away from your day-to-day life any longer, this is the end of my podcast episode for this episode, and actually also for this year. I hope to talk to you again in the new year, and I hope you keep on listening. And if there's any feedback, tips, suggestions, ideas, just let me know at AppForce1 on Twitter. I always look forward to your feedback, ideas, and anything that you'd like to share about the content that I'm creating. And yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll meet again in person in 2022. I'm really thankful for all my listeners and the things that podcasting actually gave me in this year. So here's to many more years of podcasting and many more years of listening for you, and a very, very happy 2022, and stay safe, stay healthy, and keep on listening. Have a great one, everybody. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.